I mean, he is back in coaching. It could be the time. All right, welcome in. We're gonna... Scott! Oh, the whistle? Yeah, no, it's true. I gave up. I went down with the ship years ago. We did some Lions at 3 o'clock. If that interests you, no problem. But we want to turn the page to the Tigers a little bit, as we will take you into Tiger baseball. And I feel like I have to speak slowly for certain people in this town. So I'm just going to say this nice and slow. There is no panic. There is no hyperbole. There's no freaking out. There's none of that. But when a baseball team loses 7 out of 8 and looks the way the Tigers do, and they've just completed a quadrant of their season at a 500 clip, and it's approaching a trade deadline, we're going to talk about it. That's what sports are for, okay? So if you're on the bought and paid for program and you just want everything to be perfect all the time, here's your spoiler alert. Turn the effing channel, okay? We're sports fans. So we don't need to freak out. Tigers are still a really good ball club. But this losing streak, or the 8-game clip, could part of it be, you know, be, hey, you know what, all-star break. They got a huge lead in the division. They've lost focus. Yeah, I've never mocked Rico's opinion on that. I think they're men. They're not machines. Yeah. It's a 162-game season.
Hard to stay focused.
It's a grind. But I do think these 8 games have kind of exposed a little bit, which is this is what playoff pitching looks like. And, like, even last night, Skeens wasn't on his A game. That was a B. I was talking to Caputo earlier. That was a B-minus Skeens game. And he dominated you. And the weekend in Texas. Now, Texas has a playoff-caliber staff. Mind you, you missed 2 of their best 3 arms. Mm-hmm. And they still dominated you. I mean, Kumar Rocker. What? I thought the guy was dead. But look, here's my question. 51%, 49%, okay? It's scales of justice. It's not 100% zero. It's not everything's great, everything's terrible. The level set is the Tigers are a good baseball team. Now, whether they're very good or great, that just depends on your perspective. I want to know what you think is more real. Tonight is game 102. Is it the first 60 games or the last 40? What's more representative of who they are? The team that was, you know, 25 games over 500? And people were calling the station talking about shades of the 0-1 Mariners, or what you've got in the last 40 games, a lineup that has looked very uneven. Some of the feel-good stories don't feel good anymore. And a bullpen that needs help. They do. Like, it's okay to say that. I still do not understand how that opinion gets mocked in this town by saying, geez, I'd like to have a bullpen arm. They do rank almost dead last in baseball and swing and miss in the pen. You know, if I could add something to Will Vest and Tommy Canely to kind of bridge this thing, and it was a high leverage guy, man, I think it would really improve you. So I would just like to ask that question. What's more real? And then, has this losing 7 out of 8 opened your eyes or altered your opinion as we approach the trade deadline, which is about a week away, into, I don't want to trade, I need a trade, I need to add. So that's kind of what I wanted to do in the 5 o'clock. You can attack any of that, Rico.
No, I'm more so, I think you're closer to the last 40 games where you've won 20, you've lost 20. I think as the law of averages are kicking in, the gym class heroes, the guys, the hitting chaos that worked so well, where every night it was a different hero, a different Tiger was your Tiger. A different Tiger was out there giving you that key hit, driving in the run, and you were winning games. I think you're starting to see them come back to the mean, come back to the average. And, yeah, I don't think you're going to see that same team. It was very much like the pitching chaos in the playoffs. It worked until it didn't work. And I think with the hitting, it worked, and now it's not. Where we all was like, hey, look at Javi, look at Torque, look at everybody. Well, now they're all kind of going back to what they used to be. So I'm more towards, I'm 51%. Yeah, you're the last 40 games. You're 20-20. And I think that you have to make a move. because you're a playoff team. You're going to be in this thing. You have to, and there's different ways, but I'm starting to lean more and more towards you may need to add a starting arm. You may need to get a number two starter.
Duck, because here comes a cinder block at you, so I'm going to support you on this. I think part of why you're saying this is what I brought up earlier in the show as well, so let me support you. Jack Flaherty, his last seven starts, is rocking an ERA of 7.79. Control's not great. He doesn't look right. He doesn't. He can get it turned around. That's what pitchers do, right? They go through seasons. They go through, I don't know, a good month, bad month. But if Flaherty's not right, think about this. Alex Cobb, the last update you got on the 18th, might be ready by the end of the year. Okay. Job is dead, and Flaherty's not great. Mm-hmm. So it kind of leaves you with, all right, we know Scooble's a stud.
Right.
Olson Mize? Question mark? Right. So I'm not mad at you for saying it, but it has to be tied to the Flaherty thing.
Yeah.
If Flaherty's right, I don't think we're having the conversation.
But he's not.
He just doesn't. Yeah. By the way, and last night was a very expensive start. You know what it did?
Yeah. He got a bonus.
Yeah, it vested his option for next year. Now he's a $20 million player next year if he doesn't opt out. Well, if he keeps pitching the way he's pitching, he ain't opting out at $20 million. So, it was an expensive start last night. 248-539-9797. If you're Rico, you're into the starting pitching thing. I'm not going to yell at you about it. You know I'm more bullpen and right-handed bat. But I think they have needs. And I think the fairy tale beginning of April and May and parts of June, it's awesome, yeah, man. And it bought them the ability. It's a different version of the 84 Tigers.
It is.
They got out to such a wonderful start. It's bought them the ability to lose 7 out of 8 and still have a 10-game lead.
Right.
But has Cleveland chopped 5 games off of the lead? Yeah, they have.
And yeah, by starting pitching, I'm not talking about the latest Skeens rumor either. I'm just talking about going out to me.
No, I'm saying not 2 days before Saratoga. Don't do that to me.
And getting an arm. Just somebody that you can battle and go 1-2 in the playoffs and jump out to a 2-0 lead, and then, you know, you take your chances after that.
Tiger fans? Question mark? You guys okay out there?
They're okay, I
think. 248-539-9797. I'd like to have a conversation about it. I'm not freaking out about it. And again, they've lost 7 out of 8. I know, and it sucks, but A.J. Hinch's Astros team in 17 had 3 6-game losing streaks. They still won 104 games. It's baseball, man. But I do think it's a necessary reality check, if not for the very intelligent people that run this team. It's a reality check for a fan base that I think has been seduced by some magic. And, you know, look at the month of July, and you guys can go do the homework. Go look at your lineup the month of July. Go look at what Javi Baez has been. Torkelson has been, Parker Meadows has been, Matt Vierling has been. Just go look. Go look. And ask yourself, are those the people I'm depending on in October? Because the last 8 games is what playoff pitching looks like. And your lineup has not held up. And if you're going to tell me, well, everything will be fine when Kerry Carpenter comes back. Look, we love Carp on this show. He's the official Tiger of our show. He ain't Aaron Judge. You're doing a false equivalency routine. You are very heavy with a number of plus left-handed bats. If you can't overcome the loss of Kerry Carpenter, you're not very good in the first place. So just don't do that. Carp coming back will help you stop acting like he's Aaron Judge, and without him, you can't function. He's not Otani. So that's my one big thing. They need a right-handed bat because, you know, look, I'm glad Jamai Jones got his moment in the sun. Can we be done with that? Like, if you think Jamai Jones is coming up and saving your season, I'd be flabbergasted. It's sports.
And that's what I'm saying.
It can happen.
It was like a different hero every night, and now it's more, yeah.
No, now he's Jamai Jones, Rico.
Yeah, that magic is gone.
That's the whole point, right? Oh, he's the Ibanez of this year. How about this? I don't need an Ibanez or a Jamai Jones. I need a third baseman. Right. How about I just get the guy?
Yeah.
I don't need a facsimile of the guy. Get the guy. Now, my concern, and I'm not going to yell about it, because you can't yell when a team is 20 games over 500 and they're going to win their division. Not yelling, but I can have a concern. My concern is the Tigers are very committed to a plan that since August of last year has really started working. Okay? I don't think they're going to go outside of that plan in season. I will be surprised if I get back from Saratoga and blockbusters took place. I still think you're going to get one of these better in the margins things.
Right. I think it'll be just like every other sports organization in the city where it was just, yeah, or nothing.
But I hope
nothing major.
Can I get something in the middle ground between what you described and what I described?
I would love for that.
That's all I need.
I would love for that.
But one of these high leverage relievers, you know, I know certain people in this town made fun of this. I don't know why. It seems like a weird hill to die on. But look, if a team like Minnesota is shopping Griffin Jacks, I do think you should call. That's a 14.4K to 9.
Oh, but it'll be expensive.
No one said it wasn't. Stop doing straw man arguments. Cut it out. Like, yes, it'll be expensive. He's under team control for 2 more years. I want to add that guy to my core.
And it also goes to what we've said previously. I look at this as a 2-year window. And right now, I'm not dismissing the rest of the season, but your focus should be on how can we beat the playoff teams? How can we move and get ourselves to the World Series? Are we going to do it by just going in the margins, or are we going to do it by making a move? You need to make a move.
248-539-9797. Now, I'm not breaking your guys' chops. I know it's 80 and sunny and it's gorgeous out. I'm not asking anyone to freak out and yell and scream, but let's have just a conversation about the baseball team. And it is. It's baseball, man. Maybe they do lose a couple more in a row. I'm not freaking about it. I'm only going to freak out if I come back from Saratoga and it's still going on. Now, that's a different thing. But they're men. They're not machines. And they've done a hell of a nice job. And they've made summer entertaining. I think they're going to make the playoffs, and you take your shot.
Right.
I'm with Rico on this. Let's get better. So has the losing streak kind of woken you up? And what do you think is more real? The first 60 or the last 40? And again, more real, it can be by the slightest of margins. 51%, 49. Who's to blame for the divorce, mommy or daddy? I think daddy 51%, mommy 49. Right. It doesn't mean one is a saint, the other's a devil.
Right. Good way of putting it.
I don't know. I try to give different examples because I feel like people just can't conceptualize that you can have a slight level of blame for something without them turning it into, oh, my God, you said.
So you're saying the first half of the season didn't mean anything?
No, I'm saying the opposite. I'm just saying I appreciate that it happened, but I do think they're far closer to a team that's 8, 10, 12 games over 500 than 20.
Right.
Yeah, I do. 248-539-9797. We'll get to the people next. All right, ticket text, and we get to the callers. Take you to Tiger Baseball. If you'd prefer Lions discussion, Odyssey.com Rewind. I also forgot to adjust my hat, and I'm wearing it like a child. Okay. I tilted my hat up and fully believed in Javi, but I was appreciative that it was happening, right? I am worried about Parker Meadows, and I'm a little worried about Torque. Like, if I had to name three guys, the Meadows thing is concerning because, look, I have to play him. He's electric defensively. He's worth his weight in gold. But, man, we're 110, 115 at-bats deep, and he is, from an offensive standpoint, unplayable. Unplayable.
Yeah.
And that's got to change. And they're stuck because you have to play. Like, he's that important defensively. I don't get to be like, ooh, fielding chaos. Mm-hmm. Not with Parker Meadows, you don't. No. So that one is one to watch. If Parker Meadows turned this around and became the guy he was at the end of last year and he's your leadoff hitter,
a different story.
Different tone to the lineup, too. But the problem, again, is everything for them is left-handed centric. Need a right-handed bat. A legitimate one.
Yeah.
Sorry, David.
I've been scared all season because they do nothing against good pitching, and that will get them bounced in the first round.
Well, no, because who's got great pitching? Look, this is why I really hope Rico's able to do shows next week about trades and getting better, because the AL stinks. You realize that this could be an AL this year. The Yankees don't make it. I want you to think about that. And by the way, while everyone's trying to trade for Aroldis Chapman, the Red Sox might make it. Like, the AL playoffs could consist of the following: the Toronto Blue Jays,
yep,
the zombie Astros, the Boston Red Sox. Like, who exactly, the Rangers are, what, 3 games out? Look, if the Rangers got in, that's a team I'd be worried about, because comprehensively, they can go DeGrom, I'm spacing, Eovaldi, and oh my God, what is wrong with me? The other numbnuts they got. The point is, they've got the elite pitching to start, and they got great bullpen help. That's a team? Yeah, I'd be worried about that.
Yeah, because heaven forbid you lose a Scooble game. Now you're dead if you played them. That's why I'm saying you may want to start looking at a number two arm starting pitching.
Other than Gleyber Torres, there's not a consistent bat in the lineup right now. If I'm Scott Harris, I'm all in on Suarez and then a tweak of the bullpen. That is Michael from Chelsea.
Yeah, the Suarez thing, here's the worry. Look, everyone's going to want him. And I'd be careful paying for a rental. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm not going to participate. And if you can put that type of power bat in the order from the right side and lock down third base, check, check, and check. But be careful. Everyone's going to go after him. Now, do you have better stuff than the Yankees to go and get him? Absolutely. Your farm system towers above New York. But they're not going to be the only team.
Correct.
The Cubs are going to be involved. Everyone's going to be involved. It really depends on the market. But look, again, and I want to say this for the people in the back. There is no trade. Like I would pass out where I stood if I read a trade that involved McGonagall or Clark. I don't think those types of players are available. You're never trading those guys. I think the guys you've got to look at.
Yeah, because I don't think Scott Harris is going to do one of those move in silence, like, wow, make this big blockbuster deal.
All of a sudden, the Tigers have acquired Ronald Acuna. Right. No. That would be like a Skeens level thing.
Right.
It's not happening. But like a Briseno, a Lorenzo, guys like that, I mean, look, man, when you've got the player everybody wants, you're going to drive a hard bargain. I don't know.
Especially if there's competition. Yeah, well, okay, they're offering this. What can you add?
And you're not desperate. Other teams, the Yankees are desperate. You want the New York perspective? If they don't make the playoffs, the world ends.
It's so funny you say that, Mike, because if you make the playoffs, it's already a win. Just like last year was already a win. Now, if you get bounced early, okay, well, maybe next year. But you're right. I don't think that sense of urgency of we have to win this whole thing and we got to do it right now exists. It's not to say they don't want it, but you're right. Like your Yankees, the Dodgers, yeah, we spent all this money.
Well, I think the Cubs have a desperation too, just to be clear, because Kyle Tucker's headed to free agency. So they know this is our window. We got to get this done. I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong may never have another season like this. What Pete Crow Armstrong is doing is obscene.
And maybe the Tigers will be that way next year, depending on what happens to Scooble. But right now, no. That sense of urgency of we have to make this move, it's not there.
Doesn't feel like it. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're doing party poppers next week. Who knows? Let's go to Mark, 97.1. Mark, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Gentlemen, how are you?
Mark, we're okay, pal. What's going on?
Yeah, Mike, one of these days we're going to get you back into the fold for college football. It just isn't the same without you being a fan, I got to tell you.
Mark, I miss it, man. I do. It was my favorite sport. They just keep doing everything.
Mark,
to...
We briefly had him in 2021. Briefly, he was there.
I think we were all... you know why, Mark? And then I want to make
they
sure
were running
Mark,
a touchdown play.
No, because there were, it was off of COVID, and it was like, oh, my God, human beings at games again. It was fun. Yeah.
Well, you got to see K-9 torch my Wolverines, too. That's
I know. That's my lasting memory of Spartan football.
Right.
So what's on your mind with the Tigers?
So, guys, look, I mean, Mike, I got one other point that kind of a side point I want to make. But being on hold, you know, listening to you, something kind of came to me, and I'm wondering what you guys think of this. It seems to me that when you got Scott Harris standing there saying, talking about how we're going to dominate the strike zone and both pitching and hitting, and you see what Hinch does and how Hinch likes to manage, Mike, you mentioned something about, you know, is it going to kind of mess up this chaos that Hinch likes to operate under? I think you need to go one step further, quite honestly. I have, as I listened to you, it kind of came to me, like, is it possible that Hinch is telling Harris that he doesn't want a player like, say, Suarez, because he doesn't want an infield where all four spots are locked in, so he doesn't get to move Vierling around, and he doesn't get to move McKinstry around, and he doesn't get to move Wenzel Perez around. I mean, if you get Suarez, you're locked in. It's Torkelson, Torres, Baez, and Suarez. I mean, there's no place to play McKinstry. There's no place to play Vierling. There's no place to play these guys, right?
Right.
You got Cole Keith has to DH. Well, what the hell do you do with Kerry Carpenter then? I mean, I don't know.
Mark, I don't think you're crazy to think that. I mean, none of us know the answer. Obviously, AJ has a major say in what goes down, as he should.
You got a lot of good, but here's a lot of okay, but you don't have great.
But the one thing I want to say is, Mark, let's be clear about this. They wanted Alex Bregman and bad. So that you have to go back to that. Is they were willing to lay out the better part of $200 million to have the problem you speak of. So I've got to believe if it's the right player, they would do it.
Before they saw what Bias was going to do, before they saw what McKinstry was going to be, before they saw what Torkelson was going to bounce back. And you know, Mike, look, I agree with you on the other point you made, too. And once again, I don't think you took that point far enough. And it was the second thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. And that is, right now, I think – and I called you a month ago. I puffed my chest out. I took the bait. I said, I'm your Huckleberry. I'll talk to you about how I think the Tigers are going to be a World Series favorite or a contender. And now, anyone that looks at this last 20 games and thinks, you know, that it's not a concern is fooling themselves. And I got to tell you, I don't think it's just Meadows. It's Sweeney. It's Meadows. You're quickly getting to Baez and Torkelson. Yep. And you know what? These guys all seem to be just pressing. I mean, if I see one more Tiger take a middle fastball for a called strike three, I'm going to pull my damn hair out.
Mark, listen, and I love hearing from you. Please call more. I love the conversation with you. Don't freak out. Don't pull your hair out. But it's okay that you're having a realization. It is. We're up against it. I want to make sure I do this before David starts yelling at me in the talkback.
Gotcha.
Less than 48 hours of Saratoga. I don't need the stress. Yeah. 97. All right. We'll knock out the rest of the calls, get the ticket text, check in on some football, then get you to Tiger baseball. Tim has been patient. Want to make sure we get to him. 97.1. Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. How's it going, man?
Good. What's on your mind?
First, I want to say, hope you have a good time at Saratoga. Ponies are always a little bit of fun.
My man. Appreciate that.
Secondly, you would have saw me on the Pepsi porch on Mother's Day acting like Grandpa Simpson, telling everyone the end was near. looking back on it now, I don't think it's the end, but I think water's found its level. I think this team is probably 500 rest of the way. It's probably going to get you in, given our division.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the lineup, and even with the good comes the bad. Riley Green had 24 home runs at the All-Star break. Riley Green's also set up to strike out 212 times. Spencer Torkelson is the perfect example of that. You start off, he's hitting for average, he's hitting for power. Now the average is gone. And you look at this lineup, and I think my biggest problem right now, Mike, is exactly what Mark was talking about, is I want a third baseman. I'm good on Matt Vierling. I'm good on Zach McKinstry. The only thing I like about Zach McKinstry is I'll get the trivia question right in 10 years that he made the All-Star team. And you're looking at this team, and if we give up three runs, I'm not confident we'll win most games. And it was the same story last year in the playoffs, and we were just lucky that we pitched our butts off.
Yeah.
And so that's my biggest worry, is where are our runs coming from? Because I'm going to trust Olsen and Mize and Scuba with the ball all the time. I don't trust Flaherty, but, you know, you probably only need three for the first series, and then you figure it out after that. But, I mean, the Mariners series right before the All-Star break, I looked at my friends and said, guys, if we play them in the playoffs, we'll get swept. I go, this team's better than we are right now. And I think the biggest problem is at third base, and you makeshift everything else around that. And I think you get out and you cash in on Suarez. However, to your point previously, if you do that, I don't know if it gets you up to that caliber you need to be. You can win the AL, sure, but I don't know if you're beating any other team.
No, that's where, look, Tim, it's why I focused on the bullpen. You know, if I'm able to give AJ a few more levers to pull, and whether it's a Bednar, whether you could pry a Griffin Jacks away. Look, bottom line is if you had a couple of pen arms and you put them with Canely and Vest and maybe Lang is back towards the end of the year.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, you've got a weapon and you're going to make sure games stay in order, that you're pitching. You could bridge some of these. You're right, Tim. I don't know if there's a bat out there that all of a sudden cures everything that ails you. You're 100% right. But that's where the bullpen to me, if I can improve that, I can lock this in, and I don't need the offense to do a lot.
No, and I would also say this as the season starts to wrap up. If you're in the seventh inning, just let's go. We'll get that final out.
Listen, hey, just take a picture, because I assure Tim, you were probably screaming like Grandpa Simpson when they took Scooble out of that game. But look.
I was not, but my buddy was.
Okay. No, and Tim, look, 9 days from now, you're going to get all the answers. I don't imagine. I will be genuinely surprised when I get back if they didn't do something. But I'll be equally surprised if they do something substantial where I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be in the middle.
Mike, I'll leave you with this name, and I'll jump off.
Sure.
Ryan Hensley's the name. Ryan Hensley's the name you want.
I don't have a problem with it. I think there's a – Tim, how about this? We don't even need to be that specific about the second bullpen arm. It could be anyone. Just get someone.
Correct.
If you get one of the high-leverage guys plus a support piece, that bullpen looks completely different. And then we don't have to rely on Holton. Now, he's turned it around a little bit. Cool. I can use him. Vest, Canely, couple pieces. Now we're cooking. The bat, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I can pound the desk and be like, you must get Ryan McMahon. I'm like, do I? Ryan O'Hearn. Yeah, I'm not going
to
sit here.
I just think that you need to make a move, and I don't think it needs to be a marginal move. I think you, and it doesn't have to be this gigantic splash, but you have to go out and get something to help this team. You're trying to win a World Series. You're not trying to win a division.
Are we?
I think.
Question mark? Okay. David, ticket tax.
Thank you, Rico. A number two or number three starting pitcher is my top priority as well, along with a right-handed bat.
Okay.
Someone else says, we need multiple moves. People are so upset about the need or losing prospects to make it happen. However, they are forgetting that baseball is the one sport where you can buy a good team. Please buy me a good team.
And again, look, capital comes in all forms. I know I heard the midday show today, and they did. They did a nice job talking about, well, Scott Harris said they would spend when the time is right, etc. Okay, you can spend in different ways. You know, there's prospect capital. Yes, there's financial capital too. I don't know. Do you want to get in the biz? Like when Rico talks about a starter, okay, do you want to call the Arizona Diamondbacks and overpay for a rental in, let's say, Zach Gallen? You know, because if you're asking for number two, Rico, if I go Scooble Gallen in the top two, is that what you want? Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost a ton, and he's a rental. I'm not coming at you. That tone sounded terrible.
No, but as I told you, I'm willing to take that phone call. I'm willing to see what it is, because I'm not concerned about 2030 right now. I'm concerned about this year and next year. I'll deal with that later. So, yeah, I'll do the rental. And let me say it for the people in the back. I don't care if it turns out to be the next John Smoltz. I don't care.
Could I, you know, I don't know if you could get this guy. And I still can't believe he's any good. But it's the second year in a row he's been good. Throwing all that mid-30s junk up there. Guy's got like 9 pitches. Seth Lugo. You know the Royals are going to sell him. I won't be shocked if he's a Yankee, to be quite honest with you. But again,
I thought you were going to say Charlie Morton.
I think he makes like $13 million a year. You'd have him next year as well.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is one where, okay, bring him here. Let's let Fetter do his thing.
By the way, the guy's already got a sub-3 ERA. Yeah. All Fetter's got to do is just get out of bed.
Right.
And look, I want to say this for the people in the back. I'm not advocating it. I'm throwing names to attach to Rico's opinion. So we can have a conversation,
because
I just can't wait.
It'll be a high price now, but it's one of those that it's like getting the extra leg room when you're flying. It seems like a lot, but when you're in the air, you're like, man, I'm glad I purchased that.
You know, let's say Rico's plan worked, guys. You go out and get a Seth Lugo. Well, Job's dead. He ain't going to pitch next year. Alex Cobb may never pitch for you. I don't know that he'll pitch this year.
Right. Had a bullpen session yesterday, according to their Tigers PR.
Well, let's see how his recovery is.
That's great. Super. I got to get to the point where he's pitching 5-6 innings a pop in the minors, right, David?
No, you're exactly right.
So my point is, next year, Cobb's not a part of your plan. Fair?
Yes.
Job, not a part of your plan. Correct. Arm not attached.
Correct.
Okay. Flaherty's struggling, but he'll be here. But if I have a Lugo, a guy with term who's here next year as well, that's maximizing this year's window and next year's. If you're in the starting pitcher camp, one option's expiring, one option is signed. I'm just attaching him to Rico's opinion.
Because if you're not going to have the bats, at least you can go out there and get the outs. So you don't get the right-handed bat, but you know what? You know that most of the time when those two guys go and take the mound, you're going to win those games.
I just wanted to put some names to it, not advocating for it.
I appreciate that.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. All right, we will get you to Tiger Baseball right now, the big finish. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
I will start right where you are.
One more show.
Roughly 44 hours away.
Hours.
44 hours.
44 hours to Saratoga.
Let's pray for an 18-inning game tomorrow.
From your mouth to God's ears. Yes, David.
And apparently Ryan Day is one of us.
He is a noted Saratoga fan. He was all over the Big Fox national coverage of My Cute Little Sport.
Oh, David, normally he's a Bond villain and, you know, shoe polish beard, but you show up and watch some ponies and, man, you get escorted to royalty.
Do you know who introduced him to Saratoga? Chip Kelly.
Really?
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Chip Kelly.
Yeah,
wow.
It's an East Coast thing. Carry on.
So he went east before he headed out
He's
west.
Been going there for 5-6 years with his wife, apparently.
So what will Matt Patricia introduce him to?
You're asking me to slander that man, and I'm not going to do it. Let's continue.
Let's get right into it, because right now Ryan Day is in Vegas for the Big Ten Media Days, and there was a few things we discussed regarding that, which was coach, regarding everything that was going on. Mike Locksley had a key on his, I don't know, something on his jacket. But the biggest thing there is
you get it, David Locke. Key?
Yeah, I get it. Whatever. It ain't working. Okay. Petitti spoke. He started the Big Ten Media Day today, and he did tell the media, yes, he did send a letter, did not speak on the details, but he did say there was a letter there, and he won't speak on it because there's no punishment yet.
I mean, it's what we discussed yesterday. Yeah. Like, he has a job to do as the commissioner, and every commissioner does this whenever any program gets in major trouble and goes in front of a committee on infractions. You can go look at what Greg Sankey did. You can look at what Jim Delaney did. None of us, it is not related to what punishment there will or won't be. And I'll say it again so people don't want to listen. I have no faith in the NCAA. What I want to happen and what will happen are two different things. So I don't think it's correlated. They don't take their cues from Tony Petitti. Tony Petitti has a business to run. He wants to protect having back-to-back national champions and look like a good partner to his overlords at Fox. So you send the letter. As far as today, he was never answering it.
No.
Glad he was asked. It's probably more than what they'll do for sure.
And I think that's why it was leaked. So I can't say what was in it, but you read the report, what I said.
And while we went through the things in the Big Ten in your blitz, Rico, it was revealed that you killed Dave Winfield, and Mike, you killed Joe Tiller.
Really? This is the big finish.
We were going around. We were talking about PJ Fleck. Rico talked about, well, you used to like him. Why don't you like him now? And I'm like, look, they're stuck with him. And unless, you know, Dave Winfield opens up his checkbook for NIL, and Rico just swooped in with, I think he's dead. Well, actually, Dave Winfield's not dead.
73. He's alive and kicking.
You then asked me a question about Northwestern and Purdue and what it would take for two once proud programs to kind of rise up again. And I said, exhume the body of Joe Tiller. We then did a fact check. And yes,
they would have to exhume the body of Joe Tiller.
Is indeed dead. So that's how that happened. I love Joe Tiller. I miss him.
I absolutely love the college football stuff we did today, including the contract tidbits that you brought up. And the one that I enjoyed the most from it was that Rich Rod has to pay for his own food.
Yeah, so Rich Rod, as a part of his contract, got a golf club membership, which is not uncommon for coaches.
How much is the food at the golf club?
Right, except West Virginia decided, we draw the line at food and bev. He has to pay for it himself.
I mean, is he one that just goes and Big Willie style and like orders thousands of dollars worth of steak and
booze? Doesn't matter when you're paying a coach $4, $5, $6, $8 million. You don't care if he's dropping $20,000 at the country
club.
Right.
Like, how expensive is food in West Virginia at a golf club?
Roadkill? Very cheap. the point I'm making, listen, that was terrible. But it just.
Still.
I know. That possum stew, man, inflation. But it, like the one incentive that drove me crazy, Bronco Mendenhall at Utah State. You beat Utah or BYU, we give you a $5,000 bonus. No. You may as well give them the Jelly of the Month Club.
No, the one that got me was, we can just reassign you that, to another job.
That would be Zach Kittley at FAU.
Long as it's not manual labor.
That's a real thing in Florida Atlantic head coach contract. You could be reassigned to any position in the university except manual labor.
You're feeding the dolphins now.
Do you know their football stadium is only 1 mile from the beach?
Utah State?
No, Florida Atlantic.
I was about to say,
Nebraska?
No, that's why they have palm trees.
Is that why Scott Rule looks so tanned?
Okay, you've combined Scott Frost and Matt Rule into one person.
Right, he said Scott Rule.
Kind of like I had to combine Purdue and Northwestern's rosters to find a six-win
Matt
team.
Matt Rule.
Matt Rule has been hitting the tanning bed. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Good luck at Florida Atlantic. When you have the ocean as an option, the ocean always wins.
Very true. Let's get to what we did for the Lions here. We talked about, are things real or are you scared for certain things? There was the O-line with the Detroit Lions, the coordinator changes, lack of depth on the defensive line. The road schedule is Anzalone. Are you concerned about that? And the defensive back with Terrion Arnold.
And we also just recently found out that Davenport's just unlucky.
I'm leaving it alone. Rico's trying to stir it up. Look, I think every team in the league has questions. And if you accept that, you don't get offended talking about the question marks your own team has. The D-line is going to be a question. Some of your best players are hurt. Mm-hmm. Support players are hurt now. And it's going to be an open discussion until we get to see it. And the Davenport piece is, this guy in 7 years of football has started a grand total of 36 football games. He started 3 games in 2 years. You know, to act that I can count on him for 17 games is just, it's kind of a farce. So, yeah, man, it's a real legitimate worry. My worry is more on the offensive line. The loss of two Pro Bowl linemen, mm-hmm. You don't just gloss over that.
No.
And even if you were down on Ragnow's performance last year, he's still an all-time great Detroit Lion, and he was still one of the best centers in the league. Yeah. Zeitler was a Pro Bowler.
80% of Ragnow is still better than 100% of most centers.
You said it way better than I did. Congratulations.
I'm here for you, man.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to get reassigned. Yeah!
Atta, baby.
And we are getting close to Tiger baseball here. They've lost 7 of 8. Deadline's coming up. They got to do something, right? They got to get it together.
And I think any contender in the sport is going to be a buyer. It's how baseball works. Teams don't just stand pat at the deadline in baseball if you're a contender. I don't think the Lions will stand pat. Or the Tigers will stand pat. But I'm not expecting fireworks.
No.
Tiger baseball's next. We're going to talk to you after the game tomorrow. They'll be fine.
Unless they go 18 innings.
Everything's fine. Good night, everybody.